The delegation from TIA, Technology Information Agency, we were supposed to start at 1. We're supposed to have lunch, come back at 1, and then take your presentation. So about 35 minutes late. So we had two other entities here. They took us, I don't know, you know, when the scientists speak, they want to emphasize. they go on and on and on and on. And it's not nice to say, okay, all right, now you've said enough. But sometimes we had to come in and say, no, that is enough. So I hope you're also not going to do the same. But we've agreed that we'll allocate you 45 minutes to make a presentation, and then the rest of the time will be for engagement. So I'm going to hand over to yourself, whosoever is representing the board will introduce, welcome, and hand over to management to introduce themselves individually. And whoever is designated to take us through the report will then take us. So we are now 20 to 2. So it means that 2:25, 2:30, we should be done with the presentation. Okay, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Renzile Matsebula, and I chair the HR and REMCO committee. I'm representing our chair, Dr. Steve Lennon, who's based in Australia. He sends his apologies, but has sent a capable team to represent the board.
Is he based in Australia? Or
he's based in Australia, but he still manages to chair us from
is
Australia.
It?
Yes. Technology, Chair. Technology.
So is it,
but
is he Australian?
No, he's South African.
Oh, he's just based
there. Yes, way. And he comes through regularly for meetings.
Okay.
Chair, we've got a board member on my left.
So this meeting you could not come because of he's based in Australia or because
he
of
was actually here recently, Chair, last week, and he had to return back. He couldn't extend his stay.
Mm.
But
no, I thought he's traveling, because if he's based in Australia and he's not able to come to the portfolio committee, it means he's not mobile inside the country.
Mm.
And that might be a problem for us. You see, we want him to be here, and he's not here today, simply because he's based in Australia.
Indeed,
sir. Him being based in Australia, I thought it was not going to be a problem. If you want to interact, he will come and present a report of the board and the organization.
Mm.
Okay, but proceed. But I think it's a bit of a concern for me.
And noted, Chair.
Yeah.
Well noted. However, the presentation will be presented by the interim CEO. That was the plan, Ms. Fazlin Levy Hassan.
Okay.
She will take us through the presentation. On my left is Mr. Thabiso Ramasike, who is Chair of our Audit and Risk Committee. And we have...
Don't introduce everybody.
Okay.
Just yourself, and then they will introduce themselves. Yeah.
Okay. I've introduced myself. Thank
you,
Chair. So I'll let Thabiso introduce himself, and then the rest of the
ExCo
will do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members, colleagues. My name is Thabiso Ramasike. I'm the member of the TIA Board. I chair the Audit and Risk Committee. Chair, we've taken your concerns to heart regarding the chair of the board. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Committee members. My name is Dr. Jan van Dijk. Today I'm the computer operator, but normally at DIA I'm the Executive Manager for Planning, Risk, Intelligence, Monitoring, Evaluation, PRIME for short. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Fazlin Nivi Hassan, and I'm the Interim CEO of the Technology Innovation Agency, and I will be doing the presentation on most of it today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Honourable Chair and members, my name is Werner van der Merwe. I'm the CFO.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good day, Honourable members. My name is Patrick Krabbe. I am the Executive Manager for Strategic Engagement and Corporate Relations at GIA.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, committee members and Chair. My name is Kobus Lowe. I'm the Board Secretary of GIA.
Okay, thank you very much. So we just go straight to the acting CEO. Okay.
Chair, if you will allow me, I just need to convey our apologies in that we've had some challenges with our publishers, and we presented to our DSI last week an annual report with some changes that need to be made. I've been made aware that the members have received the annual report that were pre the final changes, but I believe that the final presentation have been submitted to all the members, so just apologies for that. So just to start, Chair, on the presentation of our outline, we will be just quickly, briefly discussing the mandate of TIA. Then we will go through the highlights, organizational performance, financial performance, and then the way forward. So TIA's mandate is derived from the Technology Innovation Act, which aims to promote the development and exploitation in the public interest of discoveries, inventions, innovations, and improvements, the process by which new products and services enter the market, and the creation of new business. Thus, the Act defines that the object of TIA is to support the state in stimulating and intensifying technological innovation in order to improve economic growth and the quality of life of all South Africans by developing and exploiting innovations. Our highlights for the last 4 years, we're in the last year of our five-year plan, but in terms of the presentation, is that our contribution has contributed 7.5 billion in terms of GDP. We've created 18,536 jobs. We've supported SMEs of 10,530. Our number of technological innovation projects taken up at the market is 63. That's where we've developed prototypes, patents, etc. What is very good is that royalties received from projects supported is 11.6 million rand. Our number of knowledge products is 348. And then lastly, number of technological innovation initiatives is 300. One of our key projects that we've invested in is a project called AgriProtein. It's a project where waste is turned into animal feed by using waste nutrients, food waste, and growing maggots, turning the waste into feed. What is positive this year, because we did bring it to the portfolio committee last year about our AgriProtein investment, that this year, our 12 million rand investment into AgriProtein has attracted third-party investment of 183 million rand. This production facility is located in Philippi, a socially and economically distressed area in the Western Cape, characterized by high unemployment. The impact on the project on jobs is as follows. Over 44 million rand was spent on local payroll in 2018. 139 permanent jobs were created. 54% of our employees are from the area, and 57% of the permanent employees were under the age of 35. One of our other projects we would like to just speak about is a project called that involves bromelain. Bromelain is used as an anti-inflammatory, antibiotic, digestive aid, and a food supplement. This type of enzyme is currently imported primarily from China, and our investment into this project will largely be import substitution opportunities. The project activities take place in rural areas, supporting much-needed job creation, especially for women. And bromelain, is we basically is using the extract from waste pineapple stems. The impact on the project of the jobs is as follows. Enzyme Technology currently employs 11 people, a small town in northern KwaZulu-Natal, of which 64% are black and 45% are black females. The company is 20% owned by a BE holding company, and currently, which is extremely positive, there are two distribution agreements that have been signed with national companies for a trial period. One of our key focus areas is bioeconomy, and our contributions to the bioeconomy strategy in terms of agriculture, future Fynbos, we have three products commercialized and sold both domestically and internationally. In terms of health, Chemical Process Technologies made a major breakthrough in its active pharmaceutical ingredient development, which has significant import substitution potential when ready. Our technology platforms, TIA provided funding of 67 million rand to 8 technology platforms that provide technical engineering and scientific support to innovators, entrepreneurs, and SMEs. The platform attracted 94 million additional funding from third parties, both domestically and internationally. So what is very, very good in terms of this relationship is that we provide state-of-the-art engineering and scientific support. But what our platforms are doing is for every one that rand that they're receiving from TIA, they can actually track more than one rand from our from additional investment. Our other TIA initiatives and activities in terms of the Technology Stations program, the program exists to support small businesses and entrepreneurs. 18 technologies are hosted by various institutes, by various universities of technologies across the country. An amount of 101 million rand was disbursed to these technology stations, and they attracted third-party funding to the amount of 62.3 million rand. The technology station supported 110 technology innovation products. During the period under review, the following were provided with technology and innovation support. 3,272 SMEs in total, 51 small enterprises securing business contracts, 55 people living with disabilities, 1,380 youth, 1,481 women, 74% of the SMEs are owned by PDIs, 124 students were afforded the opportunity to work on industry projects at technology stations in the manufacturing and agro-processing sectors. A further 1,374 product testing, technology simulations, and or analysis of products were supported in applications of at least 64 research and development initiatives. Our seed fund, which is critical in terms of the SDI and in terms of South Africa, aims to assist innovators, and that is university-based researchers and small, medium, and micro enterprises to translate research outputs into fundable ideas for further development. An amount of 322.8 million was disbursed over the past 5 years, as per the table below. In terms of our inclusive innovation, this aims to support a transformation agenda that seeks to increase the participation of previously disadvantaged and marginalized individuals in the national system of innovation. Through the Grassroots Innovation Program, support is provided for innovators with innovative solutions to uplift communities. An example is our Zenzelini Connectivity Initiative. The Zenzelini Network is a social innovation model which has been developed to address technical, economic, legal, and social barriers experienced in the harshest of rural settings. It does so by creating community-owned, solar-powered Wi-Fi telecommunication networks which provide affordable communication to remote rural areas in South Africa. I think besides our highlight, one of the most critical things is our organizational performance for the financial year that we're reporting on. We achieve 91% of our targets, and that translates to 21 out of our 23 key performance indicators were achieved. We've referred to in terms of an annexure. We've given all the detail, which the committee members can find from page or from slide 28. In terms of our economic impact assessment results, the multiplier effect for the 2018-2019 financial year was 3.26. This translates into new business activities of 1.7 billion rand, employment of 2,247, income of 335 million, and tax of 101 million rand. In terms of strategic objective one, which is to provide technology development funding and support in high impact areas, all four of our targets were achieved. 30 technologies advanced towards commercialization, 14 innovation projects taken up in the market, 379.3 million third-party funding attracted, and 127.4 million in the revenue spend. In terms of strategic objective two, which is to provide thought leadership and an enabling environment for technology innovation in collaboration with role players, four of our five targets were achieved. The ones that were achieved were 110 technology products produced, 31 projects attracted third-party funding, 74% PDI individuals or PDIs supported, 144 technology innovation initiatives undertaken. The one that was a narrow miss but still we have not achieved was that we supported 3,272 SMEs versus a target of 3,360. In terms of strategic objective three, which is develop an effective and efficient internal environment to successfully execute the strategy with role players, one of two targets were met. The target that were met was our, in terms of our ratio of spend between project versus actual spending, 65-35. The target was exceeded with 3%. One of our major challenges that we have, Chair, is that, and we did not meet this target, is in terms of turnaround time. We currently have a book, or at the end of the 2018-20 financial year, we have a book of 500 million, in excess of 500 million, of deals that have come to tier, and given the funding that we have, we were unable to support them. So this will be a challenge, and we're looking at this year in trying to improve that. Then what I would like to do, with the committee's permission, I'm going to hand over to our CFO, who will discuss our financial performance.
Thank you, CEO. Committee, we've prepared the financials for 5 years, but I will focus on the last year, 18-19, the year that we are... that we've got under review. The total revenue was 566 million, of which 520 million constitute the grant that we receive through National Treasury. But a significant amount can be attributed to specific contracted income. That was 110 million. It was the highest that we've ever received. Now, that is amounts that we do get from our Department of Science and Innovation for specific contracted initiatives. And then I will also focus later in a graph on other income that was 35 million, and just to show where that comes from. In terms of our cost, it was 543 million, of which employee cost is 105 million. When you do a comparison of the employee cost, you'll see it is the lowest in this five-year period. So it does show that the costs are maintained within well-established levels. Even though it has increased slightly year on year, it is still a very small amount compared to 2014-15. Project funding was 370 million. That was what the CEO alluded to in her presentation. And then at the end of the year, there was a small surplus of 22 million. When you compare it to the other years, for 3 years, we did incur a deficit. On the next slide, it shows the statement of the financial position, so it gives you a bit of indication of our assets and the cash and receivables. You'll see that the property and equipment is 19 million. It is fairly at low levels. It was one of the findings that we got from the external auditors that we had to restate our assets because our assets are quite old and we are still utilizing the assets. So I think it's a very positive indication that we don't replace assets every year, but that we try to bleed our assets as long as possible. And the investment funding assets, we've got an investment into BioVac that's here in Cape Town that is at 20 million, and there we also got loans that are currently being repaid. I'll get back to that when we talk about the other income. And then you also see that we had liabilities of 143 million. Then in terms of the other income graph on the next slide, it gives you an indication of where do we derive our other income from. And you will see a significant amount that was there in 2014-15. It was when we materialized one of our successful investments and we received 60 million rand for that exit. But in 18-19, the four categories of our income, other income, consists of and the following. It is interest on loans. So when we do grant investment, in some cases we will provide a loan to the investee, and when they start to repay that loan, we then materialize or we show the interest income. So that was a significant portion of 5 million, but we also had a restatement of loans that became repayable. We have got bank interest there, but also importantly, the CEO mentioned royalty income. Our structure of funding is that we provide a grant, but it's not a grant that's for free. When the investment is successful, you need to repay that, and we repay that through a royalty income that is based on the turnover or the total income from that company. Lastly, Honourable Chair, we would like to focus on our audit results. And our audit results, we are pleased to announce that we again had an unqualified audit opinion. It's the seventh year in a row that we had an unqualified audit opinion. We also showed for the committee the irregular expenses and fruitful and wasteful expenditure, where you can see that for the past 3 years, we had zero fruitless and wasteful expenditure and zero irregular expenditure. Thank you.
Thanks, Werner. Then just to discuss some of the challenges, even though we achieved 91%, TA is faced with extreme negative stakeholder sentiment. People are unhappy in terms of our turnaround time. They feel that we are too risk-averse, and our current drive this year is to look at improving our stakeholder relationships. The other thing has been on organizational capability. In terms of our key investment staff, most of them have been acting, and this year we're looking at employing permanent candidates to that and beefing up our experience. What I would just like to add to the committee is that historically, in terms of where we reported it was Department of Science and Technology, the strength and the capability in TIA was in terms of technology development. So we've got a lot of scientists that are very strong technically. But the reality is, and that is why we've got our negative stakeholder sentiment and why we take so long, is that we need to bring in depth in terms of commercialization experience and financial, in the financial area, and that's what we're looking at. The TIA project pipeline versus investment funding available, as I've made mention before, if I look at as today's date, we're sitting with in excess of 600 million rand of applicants that have applied to TIA funding, and we currently only have 80 million rand left to disperse. So we have the challenges, what do we do, but we are looking at it, looking at possibly setting up a database that we will make available to all partners in the NSI landscape, and they could possibly fund it given our limited funding. And we're also exploring the opportunity of co-investment with other funders as well. And then the reality is our process improvements, we take just way too long. We are looking at it. Our standard of applications that we receive, a lot of our entrepreneurs need support in terms of business plans. And so we then, our team spends a lot of time in helping on the business plans, and we're looking at having a pre-investment support unit that will assist those entrepreneurs on business support. And then we have our investment individuals. But what is critical, and we're also looking at that for this financial year, is our post-investment support to help those entrepreneurs commercialize their products. And in terms of acknowledgements, we would like to thank our past minister and our new minister. We would like to thank the Department of Science and Innovation for all their support. We would like to thank the Portfolio Committee, and we would like to thank all our partners in the NSI landscape and in the broader arena as well. Thank you, Chair and committee members. We would like to welcome now some questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I thought you are not done with the report. I thought you still have to come and and brief the committee on the issue of the CEO, Mr. Palo. I thought that there will be some reporting to this committee about what is happening there. But there is nothing that's in the report, in the main report, the annual report, as well as in the one that has been presented here. Now, let me tell you what is my problem. The report, the annual report, makes reference to appendices, and those appendices are not included in the annual report. Page 26 and page 82. I had hoped that those appendices are going to take us into confidence on the situation between the board and the former CEO. The second problem that I have is that this annual report was for the financial year 2018-2019. For the year that came, for the financial year which came to an end in March 2019. And during that reporting period, Mr. Palo Manilal was the CEO, and no reference is made of that fact in the annual report. And this is the annual report that was for the year during which he was the CEO. it does not even appear on the management structure at the time when this report was at the time when this was supposed to be the year under review. The only place where you mentioned him is on page 79, and I just want to read that paragraph. It's 12.4, the second bullet point, almost like the last paragraph, where it reads that Mrs. Levy Hassan's appointment as interim chief executive officer is a transitional measure pending a recruitment process to replace Mr. Manilal, who left here on 30th of June 2019 in anticipation of the expiry of his contract at the end of March 2020. Now, the information that I have in my office is that the former CEO did not leave his contract in anticipation of the expiry of his contract. He did not leave the employ of TIA. He was fired by the board. And this is what information that I have, because I had to interact with the correspondence, which I ultimately said, if the matter is before the public protector, let the public protector deal with the matter. But the essence of it is that the former CEO was fired by the board for whatever reasons that the board had, which reasons I thought that the board was going to share with us separately, take us into confidence. So there was no mention of that. And the statement which is on page 79, we know for a fact that this is a misleading statement. This does not reflect the true situation as we know it. So, so I don't know what we are dealing with now. Yeah, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I just want to finish my points now, and then I'll allow members just to come in. So I don't know what we're dealing with, because members of the board and management, you would know that this matter is not something which is secret. It has been there in the public domain. And we ourselves as members of parliament have been aware of this. I personally have had an interactions with the minister and the department, and we were expecting that you're going to brief us, give us a full briefing around what is happening here. And you are not taking us into confidence. In fact, the report is very misleading. Mm-hmm. It's extremely misleading how it is coined. It should have just said that Mr. Manilal left the organization for exactly the same reasons as we know that he was fired. So I'm very worried. That's why I was expecting the interim CEO to have another set of presentation to brief us around the situation. I know that he was paid for the remainder of his contract. As a fact. And I don't know what that payment constitutes, because we did not get any value for the money that we have spent getting rid of him. So I don't know whether members wants to add before I allow, just on this part, not on the performance information. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I would support any move that rejects this annual report, because it starts off misleading, because the period that we're talking about here, up until 4 years ago, is under the leadership of Barlo Manilow, to put in someone here who is appointed after the 1st of May already, you know, to is already erasing this man's hard work. I can't understand how we could even accept this. This is the work of that monster, Edward Kisweta, who wants to erase another man's hard work. How can this even be tabled? It should be rejected. They should all just go back to where they came from and come to us with honesty. This is fraudulent. In fact, all of them should be charged as they're sitting here. All of them. We cannot let this go unpunished. We are being dealt a fraudulent report here. These are fraudsters. And if we are still going to entertain this year as a committee, my chief whip will write to the speaker, and we will charge anyone who's going to be complicit in having this tabled to Parliament. This is a fraudulent document.
Okay. We can't entertain this. Remember, we're still discussing...
No, we cannot discuss a fraudulent document here, Chairperson.
Okay.
It starts off fraudulent. There are misleading statements there.
Okay.
As you said, and even now, they are trying to put funds in Mr. Manilow's account so that he can... to quiet him up. We can't accept this. These are a bunch of fraudsters here. They should all be charged. And if we are going to entertain this, we are going to be complicit in selling fraud to the citizens of this country. We've got a duty here to hold these people to account. We cannot entertain this. This
thing should be
rejected. These people should be sent back.
All right.
And
thank
they should
you.
Come up with the truth, or we should charge them.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Remember, we have not come to a point where we put down the position whether we reject or not. Now, we are at a point where we are asking them questions. I did point out that statement, particular statement, is misleading. Now, the procedure is that you ask questions, you get the responses. On the basis of the response...
No, Chairperson, you don't understand. The person who chaired TIA, who's endorsing this, is our SARS commissioner.
Okay.
How can we trust this?
Order,
we are entrusting this man with the running of our treasury.
Let's listen to the order.
Thank you, Chair. It's hard for me to engage because in a meeting, you'd know who's in the meeting. And with all due respect to the Honourable Member, I just don't know how to... So can we have a clarity of the Honourable Member who has joined us, and a clarity also on the procedures of Honourable Members who are not part of committees but are therefore joining the committee meeting, and how you then... The procedures around being ATC'd and whether or not someone is an alternate of a committee or not.
Chairperson, may I assist the member?
Honourable
Person, she's still on the floor. She's on a point of order.
So I've got no problems with anyone joining this meeting, Chair. Just want clarity on the procedures, because now I can't even engage the Honourable Member because I don't know his name. So I think, Honourable Members, I think we're all... unfortunately, you're not a member of this committee, so you don't know how we engage. And I think all of us in this committee all agree on what we are trying to achieve here in terms of holding people accountable. But what we must not do, comrades, but allow me to conclude.
Yeah, but Honourable, just a minute.
Because we can't engage like this. Allow the chairperson to chair.
Honorable Mkacha, just a minute. Okay. Honorable Paulson, you know you are out of order.
Okay.
Because the member is on the floor addressing you on a point of order. You are interjecting. She has not yet finished. She's a member. She should know any member of this parliament can enter any committee. It is this, you know, just like the public can. I'm the only one that can engage because I'm a member of parliament. But the public can also come.
Honorable member, I've not even ruled on the question that is as she's raising. She's raising a point of order. I've not yet ruled on it. You're busy coming in. Now, I'm going to ask you, Honorable Paulson, please respect the rules of Parliament. You are quite aware of the rules, that you can't speak when the chairperson is speaking. When a member is on the floor raising a point of order, you can't come in and interject. So as a member of Parliament, you should know the rules. You have been here for 5 years. You're here in the last Parliament. So please, let's run this thing according to the rules. You've got the right to attend a meeting here. You are not an alternate member of the EFF, but you can come, and that's why I allowed you to speak as a member of parliament. But allow me to rule on a point that has been raised, and the point is...
I've not concluded the order.
Okay. Conclude the point of order.
Thank you. The order is that, can we please engage in a manner that allows all of us to play our roles. Our role, Chair, is to engage what is being presented. If the member is suggesting or proposing that we don't even engage what is being presented, then that must be suggested to the House. But he must allow for the House to have a conversation, which is what's not currently being allowed. So if he wants the House to be lobbied not to engage it, that's also fine. But can we all engage in a way that is conducive and fruitful to what we're trying to achieve here?
Okay, so the order is sustained. So we first start by asking questions. That's the procedure of interrogating reports. We ask questions. If we are not satisfied with the responses, we develop a view as a committee. So I'll ask if members have got proposal, they will put it on the table, and we will then entertain those proposals. So Honorable Paulson is not an ordinary member of the committee. He has not been part of any of the meetings of the committee. But he has got the right to come here. But please don't disrupt the committee when you come here for the first time. You assume that people are going to disagree with you, but we are the first to raise the issue. How are we going to disagree when we also have the same concerns? But please, let's be orderly in a meeting. Okay, I've raised that issue. Honorable Paulson has added, I don't know if there's any other person who would like to comment on what I've said before we get to interrogate the rest of the report. You see, I consider this thing to be very material and very fundamental, because it is the period under review of the former CEO, and you do not disclose in the annual report circumstances under which he exited the organization. And how you bring the report is as if, you know, somebody just submitted a resignation letter. And I think that is really misleading the committee. So please, let's get responses to that. It would have been better to get the chairperson of the board here. Now, the chairperson is not even here. He's in Australia, and the reasons for him not coming here is because he's not visiting there, or he's not traveling there. He's just staying there. So you see, if the chair was here, but we've got two board members, I think maybe if they are familiar with the issues, we can then get an explanation on that one.
Chair,
sorry. Just before they respond to that, just to put a few issues on record, right? You have alluded, Chair, that this matter is in public domain. It's known out there on how the CEO was unfairly and unceremoniously removed from his post or from his office, right? So we just want to warn them that this very same sitting, when they were busy reading out their report, it is recorded, it is being aired, right? And the public will ordinarily see what are the people from TIA saying about their CEO, and as compared to what the public knows ordinarily. So just to also liaise with my fellow colleagues as views, that perhaps we must, after we evaluate their responses, we must take a decision whether they should go back and rearrange their own report and come tell us the real issues moving forward, because it's not always advisable to be frugal with the truth, especially when we are on a national television. It's going to be a problem.
Okay, thank you. Let's get responses.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Chair, I think perhaps maybe starting point is to concur with your concerns around the details pertaining to the former CEO, that perhaps maybe it's a mismatch of expectations that this report, or there should be, as you were saying, a detailed report in respect of all that has transpired from the middle of the year up to where we stand, Chair. And I will seek your guidance, Chair, to say, to inquire from you whether then, because the process has largely, the processes were led under the leadership of the previous chair and are now under the current chair, that whether the committee will then prefer that their engagement will follow on two grounds. One, under the leadership of the current chair, because he's been very close to that, number one. Number two, that with a report being submitted to a committee, instead of an honorable member is correct that on a national platform like this, when the events are not properly sequenced and the report is not, or there is no report to talk about, and I sit here and engage with the committee to the extent that I know the issues. So that's where I'm asking for guidance from the chair and the committee as to, would you then prefer both where we are presenting with the chair being present with a report written, submitted in advance to the committee around where things stand?
Okay. Are you done? The other board member is okay. Are you fine?
I'm fine. Chair, and I support my colleague's input. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you see, that Ramasike, you see, the problem is that we are sitting with an annual report which is misleading. You see, that is the first thing that we have to deal with. All right? The second issue is that we have got a person who was a CEO during the year under review. And this person is not acknowledged that this person was the CEO, first of all. Secondly, we do not get a report on the circumstances under which this person left. You see? And the first person, the first platform to report this thing should be in Parliament, because you are tabling a report in Parliament. And the issues have been in the media, are there? And we have deliberately chosen not to engage with those issues because we thought you are coming.
You are coming to give us the information. You are coming to clarify us. And when you come, there is no such a report. You see? I don't even want to get into the merits. And this committee will not get into the those issues. If there are disputes, well, there are disputes. But at least to have the courtesy of briefing the committee to say these are the issues that are there and why the report is misleading. You know, there is an appendix here which has been referred to, but it's not attached. But why is that the situation? See, why, accounting officer, are you giving us a report which is not a true reflection of what is obtaining in the organization? Why? Because when you report to us, you must be report in a truthful manner. You must present the report as it is. You must not sanitize anything. It's not your duty to sanitize the reports that are supposed to be coming here. Your duty is to come to Parliament, give us all the information that is there. It is up to us to engage with this report, with this recommendation, or whatever that is in the annual report. So, I don't know what is the view of members. I don't think we should proceed on the basis that we do not have that information. So what we need is that we will then identify another day where the chairperson of the board must be here, and if possible, the chair of the former board, whose period we are reviewing now, who must also come, and then we get a full presentation on one, why is the annual report misleading, how it is drafted, two, the circumstances under which the CEO left, full, so that this committee can then take a decision. Are we fine, members? Anything that I've left out, Honorable Mukach?
Thank you, Chair. I think the way forward that you proposed is very clear, but also to say that the document that you're going to present on the day, can we not receive it on the day? So today, there's a few changes that were, or additions that were made to this document that we're now engaging. So can you please ensure that we receive the final document ahead of time?
Okay. Any other thing, Honorable Maniso?
Okay.
Before, let's get Honorable Maniso.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I think what needs to be noted as well is the fact that we are rejecting this report on the basis that it is not the true reflection of the status quo, not only on the issue of the CEO or whatever the statement that has been written here. Because I've went through this document. Many of the things, they are so dodgy. We would want to interrogate why this percentage, well, you know, there are so many things that are not
yeah,
important.
But remember, we are not yet there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We first have to get a report with all the explanation, and then the committee must then express itself on the report.
Okay, so
I
support your latter statement
okay.
to say that we
must Honorable Gates?
Just a query, Chair, to you, perhaps. That this annual report looks to be, for me, it looks like they are done already. This is the document they are going to be bringing. So it means it must go be revised, all of it. We must pretend as if we've never had anything from this, right? I think I just want to be with you on the same level. We don't know anything what is happening. We're just waiting for the clarity.
No. The point is that the report, in as far as the former CEO is concerned, is misleading. It does not contain all the information that we know. So whether they will revise the report or do whatever, we are expecting that when we meet with the TIA, we will then get the presentation of the report, those aspects which are misleading, and the fact that there is information that is attached which is not attached. The second, we are going to get a presentation on the issue of the CEO, and then we'll then express ourselves as a portfolio committee. So I don't want to advise, my job is not to advise on the compilation of the annual reports. So the board will then see to it how then do they deal with the issues that we are raising, and then we'll come on the day that we will find on our committee program. We will invite the board, Datara Masike, and then please convey our concern to the chairperson of the board to say that we would want him to be here to come and deal with all the issues that we have raised.
Chair, I think it will be just right to look into how the chairperson of the board responds to this honorable committee. For him to just say, I'm in Australia, I'm not in holiday, I'm at home, I find it extremely arrogant and problematic, and the fellow should face consequences. We are not playing. We cannot allow that. To just say that as if we are just some street arrangement club where you can just say whatever you want, I think he undermines the entire committee, and there should be consequences, Chair.
Saying what I was saying about our concern, the only difference is that you are putting it in your own language, that we understand your language to be the radical language. So
consequences.
Okay. Yeah.
Consequences.
Yeah. But we are all concerned. Look, I don't think it's fair to say I can't come to a meeting of the portfolio committee in Parliament because I'm seated at home. And where is home? Is in Australia. I mean, if you are no, honourable members, no, please, let's observe the decorum. Let's have respect for other people as well. But still, let's raise our point. If the chair was travelling, that I was going to understand that. Okay, the chair is overseas travelling, but if he ordinarily resides at that place, when he's called, he must come. He must come here to Parliament to come and account, because he has been appointed to oversee an institution of the state where the people of this country demand that there must be accountability, and that accountability is exercised through this committee, through Parliament. Okay, so thank you very much. Or you want to say something? Dr. Ramasikia.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe just to say on behalf of the committee, we have heard on behalf of the team that I'm with, that we have heard the severe concerns that come from the committee. We understand the role that the committee has to perform when it comes to oversight, and certainly when it comes to exercising its rights. In looking after entities like ourselves as TIA, we have taken note of every single point that has been raised in this meeting. Chair, we are taking the points that are being raised here extremely seriously. The last time we were here, the tone was totally different. Obviously, today is a different day, Chair. We are not taking any of the inputs that we've received lightly. We are going to make sure that at that opportune time we get an opportunity to return to present ourselves in front of the committee, that we address every single one of the points that have been raised, Chair. And just to mention, on behalf of the board, Chair, there's absolutely no intent of any sort for the board to show any form of disrespect to the committee at any level. So we take heed of what has been said, and appreciate the feedback that we've received, Chair. We shall when we will go back and respond to the concerns that has been delivered.
All
thank
right.
you, Chair. Thank you,
members. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So the last entity to present to us will be the HSRC. So if we can get them moving closer. Thank you very much, Dr. Ramasik and your team. We will communicate with you. We will give you the date. It might have to be soon because we are busy dealing with the BRRRs. So it might have to be next week or latest week after next. Okay. I guess Honorable Paulsen was here for this issue.
Yeah, mission accomplished. I can go now. But I want to listen to Professor Craig Powell.